We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu is sent by the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, so he questions HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the mission that he had been sent on, because things didn't go as he had planned. Things didn't go as he thought they would. Hashem says, go and you'll be the conquering hero. You know, you'll be, not conquering, but a freeing hero. You'll go and you'll tell Paro that, let my people go, and he'll say, oh, okay, and that's it. And then the people will come out, and that's not what happened. He went, and things got worse for the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to realize, he's motivated, changed his whole life based on a feeling of empathy toward his Achenu B'nai Yisrael, meaning by seeing Jewish people getting hurt, he gave up everything. He gave up his whole royal upbringing. He went to see an Ish Mitzri being hurting an Ish Ivri, and that changed his whole life. And now seeing that life got worse for the Jewish people because of him, so he was he reacted by questioning the mission that the Ribbono Shel Olam sent him on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes him for that, for questioning the mission. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov had plenty of hard times that they couldn't really understand in the moment exactly why things were going the way they were going, and they never ever questioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, and you, in this very early stage of your career, are already questioning. And Moshe seems not to be up to the task based on that, but the thing is, if you look at the exact rebuke, certainly the way Rashi understands it, it's somewhat striking. The pasuk says, "Atatira," says Rashi, "Hirharta al midosai." You have thought about the way I'm dealing with things. Loka, meaning you questioned. Loka Avram, not like Avram Avinu. Lefichach atatira ha'asu leparu v'kala asu l'malchei zayinu mos kasher aviyam l'eretz Yisrael. And you're not going to see. Meaning you saw what Veloha said, Malchei Zayinu Masa Kasher Aviyam L'Eretz Yisrael. You saw what I've done to Paro. You will see what I'm going to do to Paro. But because you're questioning, you're not going to see what I'm going to do to the Zayinu Masa, what I'm going to do to the Toshvei Eretz Yisrael in order to allow Klal Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael. So apparently already at this very early stage, Moshe Rabbeinu's fate is sealed. He's not making it into Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi seems to understand, of course, quoting from Chazal. However, much later in Chumash, in Parshas Chukas, the sin of the Meimariva, whatever that was, precisely, I don't know, 20-way Machlokas, Mefarshim, various Mamari Chazal, and other ideas put forth by Rishonim, whatever exactly the sin was of Meimariva, that's the reason Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Torah describes as why he wasn't allowed in Eretz Yisrael. So it begs the question, which one is the real reason? Meaning if already right now Moshe Rabbeinu is being told that you'll see what I do to Paro, but you're not going to make it that far to see what happens in Eretz Yisrael, so then the Meimariva was just, you know, it was his fate was already sealed. So what did that really add to the picture? Furthermore, you have a similar problem in pinpointing the cause for punishment when it comes to Churban Bayisheni. A lot of times Chazal tell us why things happen. We know we're not supposed to do that prospectively or even in the moment. We're not supposed to say, oh, this happened because of that. But Chazal have, certainly retrospectively, Chazal are able to tell us why certain things happen. We don't do it. Chazal do. Chazal tell us why certain times. There are people, there are Gedolei Yisrael, that thought that they could do that with the Holocaust also, and explain why horrible things happened, why something of such magnitude happened. But that's certainly not the Masorah in our yeshiva. You know, the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Gimel tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know. He was bothered by the Kasha, Tzadik Veralo, and sometimes Tzadik Vitovlo, Rasha Veralo, and sometimes Rasha Vitovlo, and he was bothered by the randomness of all of it. And the Gemara gives three answers to that question. So one answer the Gemara gives is that there's a difference between Tzadik ben Tzadik versus a Tzadik ben Rasha, or Rasha ben Tzadik and a Rasha ben Rasha. And that's why a Tzadik ben Tzadik only gets good, but a Tzadik ben Rasha sometimes will have Ralo. A Rasha ben Rasha will have only Ralo, but a Rasha ben Tzadik may have some Tovlo. Then the Gemara gives an answer that maybe there's a difference between Tzadik Gomor and Tzadik Sheino Gomor. But then the Gemara's final answer is, we don't know. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're a human being, you'll never understand. So I think our Masorah and our yeshiva is we go with that. We go with that we don't know, that we're never going to really understand. But there are Gedolei Yisrael that you can't take anything away from them as Gedolei Torah, who have suggested that they have a good idea as to why certain tragedies happen. But certainly Chazal do it, and certainly Chazal are entitled to do it. So the Gemara in Yuma tells us that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on account of Sinas Chinam. Yet, the Gemara in Bamtzia Daf Lamed tells us that Lo Charvu Yerushalayim Ela Al Shedonu Ba Din Torah. That because we didn't go Lifnei Mishuras Hadin, that's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. That was the Churban. So Tosfos notes the problem. He says, I don't understand. Vim Tomar, Yom Daftaz, Am Nesin Aschinam. So how could you say it's because that Shadana Badin Torah? So answers Tosfos, Yesh Lomar, Dahava Hagarma. That there were two causes of the Churban. That they didn't go Lifnei Mishuras Hadin and Sin Aschinam. And they're both causes for the Churban. The problem with understanding that Tosos is that if you look at the Lashon that Chazal use in Bamitzia, it's Lo Chorva Ella Al Shadana Badin Torah. Lo Ella, right, to translate Lo Ella, there's an English word, only. Lo Ella is only. It's only because they were done about Din Torah. Certainly doesn't make it sound like this is one of two reasons. So how do you pinpoint the reason over there? Meaning, just like in our parsha, we have a difficult time pinpointing the actual reason that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't make it into Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to this Maimon Chazal, we have difficulty pinpointing the reason. It seems almost like Chazal are open to the possibility that there could be more than one only reason. And it's hard to understand what that even means. And yet another example of trying to pinpoint a reason for punishment is the story of Nadav and Aviv. Right, talk about dozens of Mefarshim trying to, and over there in Chazal have so much to say in terms of what their Avera was. A whole variety of sins that they may have committed, these two great, great sons of Aaron. But one of the sins seems to be totally different than all the others. The Medrash tells us that perhaps they were punished Shalo Asku Bepiri Verivya. This is why I thought to say this Dvar Torah now, since we've been in these sugyas all week. It's a drasha I gave 10 years ago. Shalo Asku Bepiri Verivya. So from a purely halachic standpoint, failure to perform a mitzvah saseh generally doesn't carry with it any punishment. Right? There's no malchus for failure to do an essay. We had this whole discussion about is delaying a bittul, but even a bittul, even an actual bittul of a mitzvah, is not something that you get an onesh for. And certainly not nearly as serious a violation as violating a los essay. So why would failure to do peruvu lead to the demise of two outstanding tzaddikim? Meaning, you're going to tell me that they disrespected the Masorah, they disrespected, whatever, or that they were makriv nesh zara b'fnin, whatever it is, they've done some aveira, I get, but that they didn't do a mitzvah, why is that enough? Why is that enough to bring about their demise? So the Yismach Moshe offers an insight that maybe helps answer all these questions. So the Gemara tells us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he first only used the Midas Hadin. And once he saw that the world is never going to last with Midas Hadin, because Midas Hadin, Rav Elchanan discusses this in his Maimer on Bitachon, I think, in Kovetz Mamarin, right? He has a whole shtickel Torah in this Maimer Chazal, but we're going to keep it simple, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the world's not going to last with Midas Hadin, so he's mitztarif imo Midas Harachamim. He said, because Midas Hadin would mean that a person does something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you oxygen every second to breathe. He's allowing you to live. He's giving you a life force and neshama every second. And he just has a list of rules. He's got 613 rules. You got to follow them. So the second you don't follow them, you should be done. So you should cut off oxygen for that second. And that should be it. Din would be immediate, and you're done. You're finished. But we weren't going to be able to survive with a real Midas Hadin. Every misdeed would cause a major strike against the person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu included Midas HaRachamim. So Midas HaRachamim, essentially, and here's the key, says Yismach Moshe, according to that Gemara, Midas HaRachamim ensures Kiyum HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Yev Shalom LaOlam LeHiskayim, the world can't survive with Midas Hadin. Midas HaRachamim ensures Kiyum HaOlam. And therefore, it stands to reason, if a person expresses zero interest in Kiyum HaOlam, he doesn't deserve Midas HaRachamim. And Midas HaDin is going to be the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats a person who has no interest in Kiyum HaOlam. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that Yishayahu HaNavi informed Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda that Meis Ata Ba'olam Hazeh V'Lotichyo Li'olam Haba. We just discussed in Shir this week, right? And for those doing the Daf Yomi, certainly it should still sound somewhat familiar 10 days later, that you're gonna die in this world and you're not gonna live in Olam Haba. And the reason was Chizkiyahu's failure to have children. But again, a very harsh punishment for a bitul mitzvah saseh. So says the Yismach Moshe, the punishment was not given for that avera per se. It's not the fact that he refuses the mitzvah. But he says, when a person fails to ensure that the generations continue, when a person fails to make sure that the next link in the chain, the next link in the Masorah, is going to be there, it shows an utter lack of participation in Kiyum HaOlam. I mean, Kiyum HaOlam means that not that the world starts and ends with me, that I have to make sure that this world is going to be a better place and is going to continue to grow and that things will continue to happen in a positive way after I'm gone. And someone who fails to participate in Kiyum HaOlam doesn't merit Midas HaRachim. Absent Midas HaRachim, even great tzaddikim like Chizkiyahu HaMelech don't stand a chance. No one's able to nisqay him with Midas Hadin. And that's also the explanation of the Medrash about Nadav and Aviv. Their failure to have children wasn't their sin. Their failure to have children is the reason they were punished so immediately for whatever their sin was. Meaning they did a sin, and under normal circumstances, a person is zocha to Midas HaRachim, because we're human beings and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we can't handle Midas Hadin. But if a person fails to engage in Kiyum HaOlam, then it's going to be back to Midas Hadin. And you could be great tzaddikim like Nadav and Aviv, and whichever shita you hold like the other Avera was that they actually did, that's going to be what they're punished for immediately. So to tap into Midas HaRachim, it's obviously, according to Yitzchak Moshe, very important to be interested and express an effort to make sure that the world continues in a positive way. But there are two other ways to tap into Midas HaRachim. Just as participating in that which brought us the Midas HaRachim, namely Kiyum HaOlam, helps to encourage HaKadosh Baruch Hu to treat us with Midas HaRachim, Chazal tells us another trick. When we act with Rachamim, it also brings about Midas HaRachim. Kalam Rachim al Brios, Merachim in Alav Ben Hashemayim. Very often, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, let me see how you treat the rest of my children, and that will be how I'll treat you. So if you merachim al brios, if we express rachim on us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachim on us. But maybe a third way that's also might escape our attention, and that is that when we appreciate rachim eshamayim, when we appreciate rachmanis that's shown to us, that promotes the Ribbono Shel Olam's rachim eshamayim. And that's true on an interpersonal level also. Meaning in general, if let's say someone goes out of their way for you and to do something nice for you, when you express proper HaKadosh HaTov for that, you show that you recognize that they've done that for you, they're more motivated to do that for you again. You're the kind of person that they want to help. But if every time you go out of your way for somebody to help them and they just completely they're not go-racing, they just ignore it, they think it's as if it didn't happen, well then you're not going to be so motivated to go out of your way for such a person, because they don't even appreciate it. So it works that way b'nadam l'makom also. When we appreciate the Rachmei Shemayim, when we appreciate the Rachmanis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be more open to giving us Rachmanis. So when identifying why did we lose the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara in Shabbos doesn't identify the Avera. It shows why Rachmei Shemayim didn't save us. The Avera? Sinas Chinam. That's what the Gemara in Yoma says. The failure to secure divine mercy was a failure to go l'fnim Yishuras Hadin. Hamidu Devreya Maldin Torah. And that explains Tosis' answer. Hava Hagara. Not that we had two equal Averos and it's only when you did both of them that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished us. No, there's the Avera and there's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't treat us with Rachamim. And therefore we were held immediately accountable for that Avera. So by by not going with Nimishur Sadin, by treating everyone with din and without rachamim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so I have my din hat on, not my rachamim hat. And therefore, sinas chiram, gone. And that also explains the conversation between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Moshe Rabbeinu. The extreme bitterness during the final stages of Shibud Mitzrayim was actually Rachamei Shamayim. He didn't recognize it. Meaning he was seeing this as like this terrible thing that's happening. Oh, how could it be? It was actually Rachamei Shamayim. Why was it Rachamei Shamayim? Because the Gzeirah was supposed to be for 400 years. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu packed in all of that suffering in a shorter amount of time, and that brings about a quicker end to the Shibud. It seemed like din, but it was really Rachamim. So Moshe's failure to recognize the Rachamei Shamayim was what caused the Midas Adim to be so strong when he then made the slightest mistake. So yeah, Meim Riva did it, hitting the rock instead of speaking to it, but it was inevitable because he's a human being. He's going to have a misstep somewhere. But it was inevitable already from the time that he failed to appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam's Rachmanis. By failing to appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam's Rachmanis, Ribbono Shel Olam says, you see what I'm doing to Paro, the chances that you're going to be able to see what happens to the seven kings are very, very slim. Because you're going to have to be perfect. You're going to have to be zocha to din. And no one can pass that kind of test, to be zocha min ad-din. So it really turns out that three messages from one basic idea, right? The message number one is that Kiyum Ha'olam is what brings about Rachamei Shamayim. You know, when Klal Yisrael is going through uncertain times, where we're not sure like what the future holds for us and where things are going. Rabbi Penner said yesterday in the Beis Medrash, I was a little taken aback by this, where he said that he visited the Holocaust Museum and that he came away angry instead of just sad. And that his wife said to him, you're angry this time and not just sad because you see that it's happening again. That's a very strong statement. You see that it's happening again? I don't know. Do we? Don't we? We don't know. We don't know if the rise in anti-Semitism is the beginning of something that's going to be, you know, of tragic, you know, horrible, life-changing proportions, like akin to the Holocaust, or if it's going to be a blip on the screen in what has been the easiest colors we've ever had. We don't know. We don't know what the future holds, right? But we do know that things are uncertain, and uncertainty makes us very, very uneasy, and it should make us very uneasy. If it's not making us very uneasy, then we need to think about life a little bit more. And it's at times like that that we try to find Rachamei Shamayim. So essentially, three basic etzos. Etzah number one is to show an interest in Kiyum Ha'olam, to make the world a better place. You know, Rav Yankel Bender from Darche, the Shiva Darche, and in the recent dinner, they honored the security guard that's been guarding them for 30 years. And it went viral. It went all over. I'm sure you've all seen the video. If you haven't, great. That means you're not like on Twitter or the internet or anything. So fantastic. It's great. So keep it up. But if you have seen it, it just went absolutely viral. So a friend of mine is a board member at Tarche, and he forwarded me an email that he got from Rabbi Bender, where Rabbi Bender's like, I don't know why this went. We were just trying to do the right thing. There was no kavana, like, oh, this is going to be something that's going to play well, you know, that's going to, we're just, the guy's been guarding us for 30 years. And he was Nebuch sick a couple of years ago. And you look at the interviews with this fellow, they're fantastic. You know, he talks about how the buckers in the yeshiva gave him a bracelet that says, I love Hashem or something, or Hashem loves you. And when he was in the hospital, it was the buckerim that came. And it's funny just to listen to him talk about it. But he uses all the yeshiva shalingo but just trying to do the right thing. Just show an interest in Kiyum Ha'olam, in making the world a better place. And with that, we get Rachamei Shamayim. And the second way to Rachamei Shamayim, be Merachim al-Briyot, to take care of other people, to have Rachmanis on other people that need our Rachmanis. And third is to recognize the enormous rachmanus that Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. I mean, by virtue of the fact that we're sitting here, or standing here, as the case may be, that we're in a yeshiva and learning Torah, and you know, and well fed and clothed, and all of these things, the amount of rachmanus Shel Olam, we should never say, oh, we don't deserve this, right? That's also recently in Daf Yomi, al tiftach pe l'satan. You don't say such things, but at least appreciate that we do have these things. To see our brachos and appreciate the great rachamei shemayim and mitzvah Hashem. When we do all of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam will continue to bring us more and more rachamei shemayim.